Hi, welcome to another episode of the Beyond Blocks podcast, a podcast about Drupal, PHP, open source, and related software development topics. I'm Oliver Davis, and today I'm here with two guests. The first time I've had two guests on the show in the same episode, so this will be fun. We'll see how it goes. So today I'm joined by Luke McCormick and Emma Horrell. How are you both?
Oh, well,
Excellent.
thank you.
Cool. Yes, it's something we've been planning to do for a little while, so I'm glad we've managed to find time to get everybody on at the same time. Do you guys both want to share a bit about yourselves and what you do? Do you want maybe, Nick, do you want to go first, maybe?
I'll go first because I'm less interesting. My name is Luke McCormick. I go by Sell Ear on the internet and Drupal.org and places like that. I've been web developer since dinosaurs walked the earth, and I've been involved in heavily in the Drupal community since about 2010. I helped to run Badcamp. I have a site called Simplify Drupal that I'll not mention again. And I discovered the Drupalisms project relatively recently.
Hi, yeah, I'm Emma Horrell. I work for the University of Edinburgh. I run the UX service at the University of Edinburgh, so I have a background in UX and content design. And I first came to Drupal because Drupal is the CMS we use at the university, and part of my role is trying to help people use our editorial interface, admin interface, to build our websites. So I've always had an interest in contributing to Drupal to help to make it better, because that would help it become better for my colleagues at the university. So that's what brought me to Drupal. And then I started contributing in 2022. I was really fortunate to be accepted as a speaker at DrupalCon Prague and DrupalCon Lille and DrupalCon Barcelona too. So I feel like I've had a lot of Drupal cons in a short space of time, and through that I've just I guess found other ways that I can be useful to the community. Most recently working on Drupal CMS, and initiated the Drupalisms issue that we're going to talk about today. That began the back end of 2022, following up from, in fact, yeah, 2022 it began. Gosh, it's a while. And then it kind of came to fruition in 2023, and we're still working on it. There's a lot to say, as we'll, I'm sure, cover.
Yeah, I feel Drupalisms is a word. I think I'm sure I've thrown around various points when worked on some in-house teams and agency side teams, and when we're doing pitches and things. And I'm sure I've mentioned the word Drupalisms sometime various times. But yeah, one of my daily emails back in September, it looks like, was de-jargoning Drupal. I think it was something that Eric and I mentioned on a previous podcast was Drupalisms. And then I started doing some Googling and found the Drupalisms working group and maybe some of the issues that you were mentioning. So yeah, I was definitely keen to find out more about it. And yeah, to think whether I might have seen some of the sessions in DrupalCon actually. So yeah,
Yeah,
where's the best place to start?
I guess we could start with like where the issue came from. It's always a good place, I find, in Drupal to like issues get born, right? And then work starts happening against it. So this issue began, there was a piece of work that Christina Chimias, who's a UX lead within Drupal, was leading on to look at the admin interface. And part of that work was looking at like, how do we categorize stuff in the admin interface? How do we put it in the menu that makes sense, in a way that makes sense to people? So they did an activity, which is a UX staple kind of activity called a card sort, where you basically present people with a bunch of labels for items that are going to appear in a menu, and you ask them to sort them into categories that make sense. And the idea with this activity is that you then get groupings, for like pieces of functionality under headings that make sense to people who are going to use it. So that activity happened, and what happened at the result of that really showed that there were a lot of labels and pieces of functionality that people didn't really know where to place. They couldn't group them, so they almost like edged towards a miscellaneous category, and that was quite telling. And Thomas Howell, who was working on, who was involved in that along with me and Christina at the time, suggested, you know, these are terms that people don't understand. And Oliver, you mentioned the word Drupalisms, and that was the first time this word was sort of associated with this issue. And so the original issue was, right, let's get a list of all these Drupalisms, of all these words that don't really make sense to people in the community. And that's kind of where it began. And yeah, then the next part of the story grows, because like a lot of issues in Drupal, people got behind this, people got excited, people like Luke, Ralph Koller, and yeah, various others credited on the issue were interested. And so we started to get together and began the Drupalisms working group.
That's cool. So we talk about, when I think of Drupalisms, I think it was like Node. Like it's the one that always springs to mind, and everyone goes, what's a node? I don't know what that is. Whereas they'd probably refer to it as a page or something else, or a content item, or maybe some other term. Things like that, I guess, is what we're talking about when I think of Drupalism anyway.
So some of the terms that came out of the card sort that people didn't know where to place were node, top one, well done, and that was without any prompting. There was also views, there was field, there was extend, themes, blocks, structure, configuration, appearance were like some that I've just pulled out. But I think what was familiar with all of these words is that maybe they're not just only found in Drupal, but when you explain them, people were having to refer to the context of Drupal to explain exactly what they meant. And that, you know, made us like suggested, okay, these words have a particular meaning in Drupal, that if you are new to Drupal and you're trying to learn how to use it and trying to learn, what does this do? How do I do this thing? You know, that isn't necessarily obvious, like you just said there. Okay, when would I select a node? If I saw an error message about a node, what would that say to me? How would I correct it? That kind of thing. So there was some, we identified that there was a collection of words that had a particular meaning in Drupal that maybe wasn't universal to, for example, other CMSs people had used. And therefore, I guess, you know, having these words is a bit of a blocker. And as Luke talked about simplifying Drupal and making it accessible and inclusive, if you have to struggle to understand the terminology, then that, you know, that puts barriers in the way, which we obviously don't want to do. And so it was, you know, we thought we need to get together and like establish a way to address this, to make it better.
Yeah, definitely. I think taxonomy was one I was always came across with Drupal, and then sometime later I actually realized what that word meant. So I sort of got it from the Drupal perspective in terms of categorizing stuff, but didn't realize it had a mean outside of Drupal as well. Whereas, yeah, node to me is a very computery term, I guess. But yeah, some of them, as you said, are different. But yeah, views I get. Yeah, views is what I get more recently speaking with front-end developers, because views and oh, I guess backend developers as well, but views are like their own thing. In, you know, whether you use like a framework like Vue.js or like MVC, sort of model view controller type of approach. So yeah, this that word, one word can mean multiple things depending who you're speaking to. So I definitely realize agree that there's, I was gonna say a problem. Yeah, I think yeah, it probably is to say it's a problem.
I think
It's an
it's.
implicit danger that you're always going to get with these things, in that there's far more concepts that need to be described than there are English words to describe them. So whenever you take a single English word to attach to something, you're going to be stepping on other things.
Yeah, this is true. I guess, yeah, and I guess sometimes I see with like module, I guess another one that brings to mind, but they may be called plugins and different things or bundles and other things. Again, it's just, yeah, what is the right word to describe that thing that we're trying to talk about? So yeah, that's tricky.
And I think like where we originally thought about identifying the list of them, and Luke talked about one of the boffs I did at the, I think I did that. That was in Lille.
It wasn't Lille.
That was right in 2023. And I guess
2024. It was just last September.
that.
October.
No, I think it was in 2023. So that Leo was
Oh, no,
2023,
no,
right?
you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No. I know, I keep forgetting we have another year. Like, I'm like, last year was 2023. No, it's like
That's
that's
scary, right?
slipped up. Yeah.
Never mind.
I remember doing that one and thinking, okay, all we have to do here is we have a bunch of terms that are confusing. So we just have to get together and think about how we define them. Like, that honestly was my naive approach to this back in 2023. But then it became very clear from that BOF, this is really tough to do as for the reasons we've just talked about, right? Like, even unpicking views, what views does, what views means, when you would use views, when you would not use it, like all of those could have different answers. So, and I think the difficulty with language is it means a lot of things to different people, and it's hard to like be objective about it. It's hard to like dissociate what people know already when they make, you know, so some people will say node is confusing, we need to get rid of it, but other people, for other people, it will make sense. So you have to, and I think this goes for the whole open source model anyway, you have to think carefully about changes you make because there'll always be ramifications. You know, nobody can have sight of the whole community and what it's doing at one time. So you have to, any changes that you have to make, you have to be like, they have to be evidence-led, they have to be backed up. So after that BOF, which was great to get, there's been two strands, I think, throughout this issue. It's like getting people excited about working on this issue and then like taking a step back and thinking, okay, what can we do that's useful? And yeah, every time we've had like a BOF, it's brought people together, but it's required like thinking, okay, how can we harness that in the best way without making knee-jerk decisions about stuff that, you know, could actually add more complexity in. So we took that away and we came up with a kind of approach. So I work very closely with Ralph Koller. We're both kind of nerdy, I think Alf won't mind me saying, in the UX space, and we read a lot of books and we look at frameworks and we think, how can this be useful in the Drupal community? And we looked at, there was a book called How to Make Sense of Any Mess by Abby Covert, which was really helpful. And there was another one called UX Magic, which advocates for a kind of object-oriented, like a programmer-led approach to UX. And we looked at those and we came up with a kind of six-stage plan. So we'd already established, okay, we need to do more than just identify a list of words. We really need to think about what we would do next. So the first stage that Luke talked about is noun foraging, but it actually, so what, that's a fancy term for just gathering words. And we wanted, since this issue began looking at the admin interface, that was the logical place to start literally collecting words from those interfaces. And again, is a recurring theme in this issue. Ralph and I thought, okay, yeah, we'll have this done in a couple of weeks. And it took so much time. Like, there are a lot of words in the Drupal admin interface. So I'm gonna just quickly pause and have a quick look at my spreadsheet. So if I give you a running tally of how many we have collected to date, because it's a lot.
Yeah, I think that's a common problem. It's like, yeah, I'll just do this thing. It'll take me an hour,
Yeah.
and then yeah, suddenly
Isn't
6 months later,
it?
we're still doing the thing.
Isn't it? Though, okay, so we have 766 nouns, but here was the thing. When we started collecting the nouns, we started realizing, oh, hang on, there are verbs and there are also adjectives. So our list of terms became a huge, great spreadsheet. And again, I think this is maybe another common theme in Drupal. A Google Doc becomes a Google Sheet and so on. 163 verbs. And let me just tell you the adjectives just for completeness. Sorry if this is not the most scintillating thing to listen to. 85 adjectives. Okay, so there are a lot. So the first stage of our six-stage plan, and I can share this written up for people to refer back to. Like, we're not done with that. We've got a lot, but we're not quite done. So yeah, the next stage is we've started to make like headway into which was like prioritizing the confusing terms, deciding which ones to include in a control vocabulary, producing translations, developing a words we don't say list, and then the sixth and final step was the process. And I think, like, when we realized how long the first stage of the noun foraging was going to take, we realized that it made sense to make a start on things like the process and also things like the evaluating complexity piece, too. So, yeah, I can talk a bit more about that, but I don't know if you have any questions about what I've covered so far.
I guess in short, there's a lot of words in the Drupal ad video mark.
Words.
Yeah. Thing. And
Yeah.
yeah, I think like you said, I think one thing when you said about things that mean things to different people, I guess there's the sort of the developer and the technical people and the non-technical people, but I guess also working for like a global open source project, different things, different words will mean different things to different people. From a like a I guess maybe from a language perspective or just from like an interpretation perspective, as well as the not so much techie versus non-techie words.
Exactly. And the other thing that we started to notice was that, like, the same word, one word would be used in different ways, so they don't have like the same meaning, but also you could use multiple terms for the same thing. So, like, in some cases, you'd see the word server and it wouldn't specify what kind of server it was in the interface. In other cases, you'd have like another word attached to that to specify, but you'd find those used interchangeably to mean the same thing. I'm just trying to think of some other. So there were a lot of like compound words interchangeably used, used in some places. The compound word would be used in the admin interface, in other places it would just be the single word, and like the meaning would be inferred on the person using it. And so, yeah, we started to, that's where we started to think about the process, because we felt, well, it's fine having a huge list of words, but we need to, when it comes to people making choices about what words they, you design a new module or recipe and you get it into Drupal. Like, we wanted to make sure people were using words, weren't introducing extra complexity, were using words that were already there and kind of adopting like the ways that those were being used and not like putting in new meanings, for example. So we felt it would be helpful to capture that, but that's quite difficult to do in an admin interface because it tends to be quite task-led, and it's difficult to get an entire list of all the things you can do with a Drupal app interface.
Yeah.
For all the reasons we love Drupal, because you can do anything with it, but it's hard then to get a definitive picture of that, if you like.
Indeed. Trying to think of some examples as you were talking. The only one that springs to mind, I think, was from DrupalCon. I was remember seeing a lot of like the AI stuff that probably had been in Drupal CMS and started to talk about AI agents, and I think that was just for me, like being not as familiar with that. But I guess, yeah, for me, I'm like, well, what does that actually mean? But that could be, I assume that's an industry standard term that's just used. So I'll have to just learn what that means. But yeah, for some people, it wouldn't
Be
be
careful with
necessarily what that
assumptions
is. But
like that. There's the things can seem like they make more sense than they do. I'm going to throw in, as if the problem of wrestling all the words that are used in Drupal isn't already intractable enough. We also have to keep our eye on the words that aren't used in Drupal. Because one of the things that makes them Drupalisms is not just, words that don't exist outside, but words that mean something to the outside world that we within Drupal need to use something different. Look at the word, the one I'm going to throw out is template, right? If you ask a Drupal person what a template is, then they'll tell you about, a piece of a theme that's written in Twig that
Twig
does
template.
certain specific things. But if you say template to anybody else, or if they come to you and they're not Drupal people and they say template, that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about something entirely different. And it could be a content type. It could be, I mean, that's one jumps to mind, but it could be all sorts of things. It could be a form,
I just thought content type when you said that, but I have had that recently. There's something, yeah, we need a new template, and yeah, what they mean is a new content type or a variation of a content type or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's template is a really good example. And actually, I'm w working very closely on the UX of Drupal CMS. And for Drupal CMS, clearly we have a kind of clean slate because it's a new product. So, we have the chance to get in on the front foot. So there's a lot of scrutiny being paid to the way we label things. And content types was just one example of that. When we did some work for the version one, coming up with a list of what we would call content types, we were thinking about how this would appear in the interface and questioning, do we use content types? Because thinking of the audience for Drupal CMS being the marketer, non-code, non-developer type audience, would they be familiar with the word content type? And it's yeah, that's where templates came in. But obviously then if you use the word template instead of content type, that has ramifications for however else template is used in Drupal, as Luke's talked about. So yeah, there are never really clear answers to any of these things. It's I think one of the things, having worked on this issue, it kind of what's the word? It like transcends into lots of other areas of Drupal. So just by looking at words, it's so that words are really important in Drupal. They're like a currency. So you get the opportunity to kind of question like choice of words, which I don't think happens in CMSs. I've done some work in the CMS space, like connecting with other open source CMSs through the Open Web Foundation, and they're all grappling with a similar thing. But also because it's a it's a problem, it's something that they haven't solved, nobody has like quite got to a control vocabulary or a glossary or a list of approved terms or whatever, which is heartening that we've been working on this and we've been finding it difficult, I guess, because it's not an easy problem to solve, but it is a very worthwhile one to improve.
Yeah, definitely. Just thinking in some examples, I just work with the static site generator Sculpins that uses content types, I think. Other ones, yeah, use sort of pages and post types. But so they're all along the same vein, but not maybe any better or worse than. But yeah, so it sounds like it's still a problem that needs to be solved for everybody. But yeah, if we can get it right, it'll just make Drupal CMS or Drupal itself just be easier for people to use. And yeah, the number of discussions I've had with clients or potential clients, and yeah, you're trying to explain to them what they say, oh yeah, we've used Drupal before and we didn't really get what it did or what that button did or anything. So yeah, the more we can make it better for people, then yeah, it's just gonna make the whole project, the whole software project better.
So
I think
I'll
so.
throw a little bit of optimism. I mean it tends to seem so hopeless when you look at it, that how are we ever going to grapple with this, and what are the odds that we're going to solve it where others have failed before us? But I think to add a note of something practical that we're able to accomplish here is we can at least identify the danger zones, right? We can make people cognizant who are dealing with user interfaces, which is a lot of us in the Drupal world, of the things that we're saying that can be misunderstood, and just make sure to build an extra confirmation step in there that when you say something, that you take a beat and contemplate whether what you've said or what you heard is what you think it is. I'll echo back to one of my earliest jobs in tech is I did phone support for Apple Computer and for Cisco. And what I discovered doing that is that solving the technical issue that the customers were calling in about was always the easiest part. The hard part was figuring out what they were talking about. was here, and the dangerous thing is people who didn't consider themselves technical were actually quite easy to work with, because they would describe what they were seeing and you could work with that. The difficult ones were people who thought they were technical and who pre-parsed the problem and would say something that was grammatically correct, but untrue. And you know, and you would have to, I learned eventually to not, you know, if I heard something that like sounded like a problem, to like make sure it's like, is what you just asked really what you're thinking, or is that just a word you attach to it? You know, someone would call and say, you know, my monitor is broken. And so I, you know, initially you'd think like, okay, you know, what problems crop up with monitors? But then I think, describe what you know, like give me a few more words here. And you would find out that, you know, the mouse was broken and they didn't know that, you know, they thought it was, you know, called a monitor or whatever. Like you, it's just important to check to make sure that everybody's speaking the same language.
Yeah, that's enjoyable. I worked in desktop support before, so I'm very familiar with those sorts of things. Or just doing, just doing BAU work on websites and things. Yeah, how people using the admin UI will just refer to something will be completely different to the way I'd refer to something. So it's defining that sort of language, I guess. And I'm sure I
Yeah.
didn't think. I'm sure someone came up with it, or I read it somewhere. But it's the admin uses the forgotten persona. And just again, when people do the user stories and personas and things, they always think of the people actually using the site and inputting the content usually. It seems to be pretty
The
common.
way they describe things is so valuable for, and exactly the card sort activity that I talked about is exactly designed to harness that kind of thing, because you're getting people to look at stuff and then label the categories, and that, you know, so you're then getting them to say in their own words what they would group things together as. The problem with the Drupalism, sorry, problem with the one we did for the admin UI, is it was almost like a stage back from that. You know, we would have needed to know what the synonyms were for each of the items we were asking them to group, because that's where the confusion was. And then it's, you know, people often, in my experience anyway, when we look at sort of emails from people saying I can't use this thing, or they describe, because in my work, supporting people to put content into the University of Edinburgh website, we do interact with people and they ask us questions and they'll say, you know, I can't save this, or this work doesn't work. Like Luke said, it would be very contextual. But unpicking the names that they're using for things is actually gold, because then you have like start to realize what how they would describe it. So you're not enforcing a word on them. You've got the opportunity to use their own. But that's it's difficult with something like open source Drupal, I guess, because we don't have a single sort of support queue of issues coming in. That might happen on a individual CMS instance, but it's definitely a valuable source of data.
Yeah, the one that sprung to mind was paragraphs actually as well. Yeah, there was times I've
Yeah.
been in calls with people and the devs are to explain to people, oh yeah, that's done through a paragraph, except and to the person editing the content, they're just putting text into forms and pressing save. They don't be familiar with the
They'll
names of
say
all the things
boxes,
that
or they'll say components, or yeah, paragraphs is a super example of that actually, because it doesn't really do what it says on the tin. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm not picking on paragraphs, by the way,
Not
but just
picking
the
on
one that sprung to
paragraphs.
mind. Yeah,
Other Drupalisms are available, but yeah, paragraph is a good one. Yeah. So I'll talk a little bit about the quiz, because that was something on
yes.
the evaluation piece. So okay, we had a bunch of terms. It was taking like our lives, gather all of these together, Ralph Collar and I, many hours on Zoom calls just looking at the interfaces, and we decided, okay, like we have enough to maybe get a gauge of which are more complex. And one of the suggestions that Ralph had, again, based on those books that I mentioned earlier that we'd used, was to run a quiz, which is like a community, it's like gauging a sense of how well do the community understand particular concepts. So the quiz had 20 questions, and we worked with people from the community to get a list of questions that some were intended to be easy and like people could get the right answer, and others were like intended to be more difficult. because we wanted to put this out to the Drupal community, and we were acknowledging that there are a range of abilities and specialisms. So we wanted a mix. So we came up with 20 questions, and I can share the link to those questions afterwards. But like, just to give you a flavor, we had one, for example, an entity is a node. Is it a true or is it a false? And I should say that all of the questions had true, false, or I don't know as the optional answers. And what we intended from doing this quiz was firstly to see how many people said I don't know, because that would gauge, okay, this is a complex concept that people don't know the answer to. Also, how many people got the question right and how many got them wrong, because by assessing those, we'd be able to pull out some of the more complex from the 20 areas that we'd question through the questions in the quiz. So the quiz was completed. The quiz we got ready for everything. It's funny, in Drupal, everything is like timed to be in line with Drupal cons or camps, right? So that you can get the community to like do something and get involved with it. So I think we did this one was for, oh gosh, was it Lille or was it Barcelona? I think it might have been Barcelona last year. So we had this quiz and we circulated it, and we circulated it at the camps and so on. And we got 418 responses, which we were super pleased about. That was a lot. We're still analyzing the data. I had a quick look at it earlier on, but I don't have any like headline findings from it for this, unfortunately. We've not quite got there. But yeah, certainly certain questions, more people could get them right than others, and some questions attracting a lot of I don't knows. There's a lot to say about how ability impacted how well people could answer questions as well. And that we also gathered data from people responding to say, like, what's your level of expertise in Drupal? Because we're looking for correlations between, okay, this concept is understood by mainly people who have a lot of expertise with Drupal, whereas this one, is not. Something that novice, for example, or people who identify themselves as not having much experience with Drupal would know the answer to. So yeah, there's a lot of data from the 418 responses that we had. I'm hoping to in the next sort of couple of months, I guess, like get some headlines out about that, because I think that'll be telling in terms of if we're going to make improvements to try and explain some of the more complex concepts. Where do we start? I think with the data that we have in the quiz, that will help us at least make a start, by identifying some of the sort of top issues that have surfaced.
I'm still thinking about the, is the entity a node? Was a node an entity question in the beginning? I'm pretty sure, yes, maybe. I don't know. But no, it's.
Want me to tell you the answer, or is that going to give it away for
I
all
don't
the
know.
people?
Probably shouldn't,
Everybody that
though.
completed the quiz wanted to know the answers straight away, and we very cruelly denied them that knowledge because it was kind of designed that way to not tell people the answer. And then obviously you didn't want people going, within the community, I know the answer to that one, because that would have skewed the data set. So, but we will publish the answers to the quiz. Let me say that, and therefore I'm not going to give anything away, because that I don't want to risk saying something that when we without having analyzed the whole lot. Yeah.
Yes, that's
I
100%.
think I had the same reaction that Oliver did to that question of thinking like I need a fourth answer of it depends on your definitions of what is means, right? In this case, it's not exactly that, but it's kind of that. Like, what's our what's the precision we're approaching it with?
We need a global it depends answer, which is would apply to most things. But yeah, I think it's, I wonder what the information, what am I trying to say? Like, have I been doing Drupal for, I've been doing Drupal since Drupal 6, or was that 2007, 2008 time I started doing it. So I've probably become aware of a lot of these things, like nodes and taxonomies and views and things. But thinking of newer people coming in, like people have been involved with boot camp and some of them started doing Drupal now. And I guess from a Drupal CMS perspective, there's gonna be a lot more people coming in with fresh pairs of eyes, I guess, really. So yeah, it seems like what I would say is an entity node. Yeah, I could probably maybe figure it out, so I can have some sort of idea from having been familiar with it, but others, aren't. So I think it's yeah, I'm not sure if there's a question. It's like, yeah, I guess it's gonna be different people coming in with different levels of experience or different perspectives. Coming in from a UX perspective, or from like a if you're a client using or a content editor, you can have a different perspective from me as a developer.
One of the things we learned from the quiz, aside from like the data that was in it, is that a quiz is one way to collect information about the complexities and about areas that need to be changed, but it isn't like the definitive for exactly the example you've given there is how you would respond to that question. So it does feel like we do need to do some work, some research within the community to sort of understand. Maybe it's these issues, I don't know, or maybe it's other issues that are surfacing. And again, CMS is Drupal CMS is the advent of it has been helpful for that because it has prompted conversations around concepts within not just Drupal, actually, but just content management more broadly. Does this make sense to people? How do other CMSs handle this? We did, myself and colleagues, Bruno, who works with Susanna Evolving, and I've forgotten Bruna's last name, that's terrible. But she did a huge piece of work looking at benchmarking across different CMSs and looking at how things are labeled and how they describe tasks. So we talked about content types a little bit earlier on, that was one area. So that's prompted us thinking about like core areas of functionality within a CMS. And, maybe that's another way to look at what those mean to people in the community, and particularly how do we open those out to people who are not either familiar with Drupal or are not that familiar with the technical side or, more specialist side of content management and publishing in general. So yeah, I think there's definitely opportunities there to sort of join the dots up.
So you mentioned there's a six-step plan or a six-step approach. So how far are we through that list at the moment? Or
So the noun foraging, which is step one, we haven't completed. We have some, how many more? Ralph would tell me if he was here. I think we have maybe two more sections of the admin interface to go through, but neither of us have had time to properly do that. The way that looks is there's nothing fancy about that. It's literally looking at the interface, one of us looking at it and then the other one adding to the spreadsheet. So that's why it's time, it takes time. People have suggested AI may be able to help us. I think it would, but I guess, and I've worked with Jamie Abrahams and I'm sure he won't mind me saying, but with any AI there needs to be a human in the loop, and I think this would be an example of that. AI could perhaps an agent or an assistant could extract the terms, but it would need a human in the loop to make sure, like context and so on, which is what we're noting in the spreadsheet. So that was a long way of saying that step one of the six-stage plan is taking longer than expected. However, step two is about evaluating. We've made a start on that with the quiz, and we're also doing some evaluation pieces through the Drupal CMS work. And the process is something else we've been working on. So Meg Plunkett opened an issue to add in a field to core commits that there's a section that looks at vocabulary. So it asks the question. It's by no means going to solve the problem, but for new modules, for new commits coming into Drupal, there's now a section in that template to ask, like, have you checked this against? And we have like a boiled down list of terms. So we're at least getting people to think about the terminology before to try and, I guess, stem the flow of any new complexities or new terms coming in. So that really is leaping ahead to step six. But it made sense to us while we were, to it didn't necessarily need to be a sequential thing. We could make a start on the later stages. So yeah, that's where we are.
So could there be almost a situation then where myself as a module maintainer, or theme maintainer, that there's a list of pre-approved terms that I should use, or words I shouldn't use in my module or my theme, or that I can sort of refer back to, or potentially even a case of maybe
The
we'll have a
goal. Exactly that, Oliver. That's the goal. By what we mean by a controlled vocabulary is what our goal is for that. I'm conscious that controlled vocabulary is a jargon term in itself, so it might not be called that. In the spirit of keeping things in plain language. But yeah, exactly. Some way of referring to whether that's like a style guide. We've tossed around different ideas for this, whether it's a style guide, whether it's a glossary, whether it's a control vocabulary list of terms, approved list of terms, something like that. But yes, some reference point where there could be a check against, okay, is this the approved way we describe this thing? But we're a long
Well,
way from that, I think. Yeah, go ahead.
since we're in 2025, we're contractually obligated to say AI when questions like this come up, and it seems like running it through an AI, lint, basically, to see if your descriptive things are assuming Drupalisms or not, would be a helpful thing for an author to be alerted to.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, it's even thinking like now we've got the GitLab CI pipelines and everything that runs on modules, and they're like, could you have something like, it does spell checks already, I think. So could we have something there that says, does it contain these words? Yeah, and they're all centrally managed anyway. So could we have a centrally managed list of words that people can then, CI can check for and check that we don't, have, if you included a word like views or some other sort of term, that don't fail the pipeline or something a bit less techy maybe, but I don't know. That's interesting. I don't know. Interesting idea.
It's a double-edged sword. It's hard to say whether you want to be more or less restrictive towards internally recognized Drupal words or not. If you're saying something, if there's an existing word in within Drupal that already means that, try to be
Yeah.
consistent
It's a tricky
with
thing.
what other Drupal people have said. On the other hand, if you're communicating to the outside world, understand where when you might be speaking in incomprehensible jargon.
Yeah, or I can see the situation where maybe someone starts opening issues on modules that say, hey, you shouldn't use that word here, or use this phrase instead, or something that makes a bit more sense. But or maybe that's happening already. Maybe I just haven't seen it. That would
Think
be
there
interesting.
probably it probably is happening already, but I guess this is an opportunity. This issue, I guess, is an opportunity to formalize that and make it more known. Because again, it's one of those things. If it's happening already, that's fantastic. It would be even better for a consistent approach if it's kind of part of the process, like you've just described. So that's exciting to think, that there's an existing way of doing things that it could be tacked into. Because I'm conscious, with everything with Drupal, you have to be mindful of people's time. And I guess my studies in behavioral science teach me, whenever you want to try and introduce a behavioral change, you have to like think about how you can tack it onto things that are happening already for the best chance for that change to come about. Because everybody's human, and it's very easy to forget these things unless it's maybe a default setting, or there's a reminder, or there's some way that triggers you doing that check, for example.
Yeah, sorry, I got very techy there talking about CI pipelines and things for a second,
Oh,
but
I love it. I think I'm like writing it down, thinking, okay, maybe it's like investigate this as a solution. Both as a tool and as a Drupalism, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
interesting.
Also checking the list to see if it's CI pipelines is there, obviously in that meta way that you do, but
But what I was thinking when you were
pipelines is
just
there, so you're cool.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, pipelines is a whole other thing. Yeah, I mean, I won't go off on this one too much. But yeah, CI as a term is a thing, because yeah, that can mean different things depending on the context as well. But yeah, just thinking as you were saying then about going through different areas, the admin UI though, like that's an actual quite a non-technical task. As long as somebody can get Drupal up and running, then that could be quite a nice way of contributing for people, maybe not developers as well, which is something I've talked about with people before.
Yes, it can be. This is a difficult one, actually. Ralph Koller and I
like work as a bit of a double act going through the ADME UI. And we were conscious when we began the Drupalisms working group that people were keen to help, but there wasn't necessarily a job for them to do. And we thought about them, we thought about opening up going through the admin UI to the wider community, and maybe we still should do that. In all honesty, Oliver, we're a bit of the pair of us are both a bit control freaks, and hopefully Ralph won't mind me saying that, but with the spreadsheet the way it is and the way it's evolved, it yeah, we don't want to run the risk of adding like extra complexity or another pair of eyes in there. And we, yeah, both of us, I think, are kind of, we know that we want to try and finish this ourselves, but equally, we may need the sort of cold dose of reality to realize if we're going to get this done, then we need to open it out and maybe issue like a set of rules and something that, you know, we could like package it as a task for anybody that's willing to contribute, because we would be grateful for people contributing and helping with this issue. It feels like sometimes it's bigger than us. But yeah, that's something we haven't quite got to, for one reason and another.
So, these being discussed, is there a particular Drupalism issue queue? Or is this all being discussed in the Drupal core
Yes.
queues or in the Drupal CMS queue? Where's all this stuff happening?
There is a plan. I can share the link afterwards. I think it was on the bunch of links that Luke shared, where we have like a kind of plan issue, which then is a sort of scaffolding for all the other pieces of work that I talked about, like the quiz and the like locating them, adding new terms to the template, that kind of thing. So there's that scaffolding. So the plan is a good place to start to get an overview. We have a call once a fortnight, which is on a Monday, and I endeavor to send out a reminder for that. We don't have it. We sometimes have to skip a Monday because like my childcare usually arrangements for this time. But yeah, we catch up async. So if people are interested, then the Drupalisms working group channel on Slack is the one to join. And if you scroll back, you'll find when the next meeting is, because I try and update that there so people can be added to that.
I got one last question, and this might be a silly question, but we talked about Drupal CMS earlier on, and you've been able to use it as like a fresh start almost. So is this purely Drupal CMS, or does this go back into Drupal core, or where is this sort of intended target for this work?
The intended target is Drupal core. So it hasn't made an official link to Drupal CMS. So the issues, all the issues that talked about and the plan will be lodged in Drupal core. I guess CMS is just giving us a kind of unofficial way of making this issue more important and more relevant, but we haven't formalized that as yet. However, having said that, we do have I have a backlog of issues to create around the like I talked about with the scaffolding. It's working out the right time to do that. Working on the UX of CMS, I know that there are lots of tracks looking at different issues, and it's I'm always reluctant to start off an issue if I don't have anything to say on it, I guess. So I was kind of waiting for it for the right moment, but that will be coming.
Yeah, Drupal CMS as a whole, I've heard about it in Lille and Barcelona and DrupalCon and things, but I haven't actually tried it. I think like, I've been working on a, you know, I've been working on the same main project for a while. So, yeah, although I might be starting something new soon. So, yeah, I'll have to give it a try and stream or give it a try and do some blog posts about it. So, yeah, I'm sure there'll be some interesting stuff.
Yeah,
Cool.
definitely. I think that's probably another podcast. At least
Yeah, I think
one.
so.
Many, many.
Hopefully. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, cool. No, that's really, I think I learned a lot from that, and it's good to see it's not just me talking about Drupalisms or a couple of people talking about it. It's good to see that there's some acknowledgement that there is this sort of wider thing that needs to be addressed and improved on. So yeah, that's really, really good. So yeah, is there anything else worth mentioning before we wrap up on the side or?
I just wanted to make sure I credit everybody that's involved in this. And thank you, Luke. You've put I'm probably gonna mispronounce your name. Bruna Sakira
Careful,
Davis.
it might be the wrong one.
No, that is the correct one. The first one, Bruna Sakira Davis, Megan Plunkett, Christina Chemias, Thomas Howell, and Ralph Koller. I think that's everyone. Apologies if I've
Aaron.
missed anyone out.
Aaron.
Erin?
Do I have that wrong?
I'm not sure I know what Erin you mean.
Probably going to miss out somebody, isn't it? Every time I come up with the list, I always like, oh, I forgot to mention that person. But it's always usually a really important person as well. So, unfortunately.
Let me just quickly look. Oh, I'm just gonna.
Yeah,
Sorry for this. Sorry for this
no
podcast.
problem.
You're gonna have
No
to edit this bit out.
yeah, I can edit this back. It's fine. Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, I'm just like Ralph Koller. Yes, Luke. Benji Fisher has also helped us, and Aaron McHale. I knew I would forget Aaron, who works at the university as well. Yeah, that's everyone. That's everyone. So, thank you to all those
Brilliant.
people.
Yep, thank you everybody. Cool. So if people want to find you both online, where's the best place for them to go? Assuming
Drupal
drupal.org.
Slack for me, if it's Drupal. That Slack, I'm just Emma Horrell on Slack, so you can find me there. Yeah, that's the best place for me if it's Drupal.
I am Sellier on Drupal Slack and in Drupal.org. I'm on LinkedIn. Luke McCormick is my full name. And if you want to take a look at simplifydrupal.com and send any comments to me, I'd be happy to hear them.
Yeah, I've been having a little look at that before we started. There's some interesting ones like don't let developers on your production site. So I feel like, yeah, we're gonna have to have a chat about this at some other point.
Sometimes a little prickly, so you know,
Yeah.
we can I'd rather have a chance to give some context to some of those
Yeah, we'll have to. Yeah,
suggestions.
we'll have to have a chat about that at some point. Cool. Thanks, folks. I've learned a lot today, and it has been good to get some more context around this idea. Yeah, see if there's opportunity to contribute back. I'm sure I'll see if I can do that as well, and if I can get others to do as well. Because everybody's doing UX work for client projects and things. So if there's a way of giving people to give some expertise back as well, that'd be helpful. So that'd be awesome.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm very happy to chat about that if anybody wants to hit me up on Slack.
Thanks both for joining me. I think, yeah, I'm really glad we
Thank
can
you.
find the time to do this. And yeah, thanks everyone for listening to the podcast. I've been Oliver Davis.